is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. With this episode today, we are recording episode 213. So today I have a guest who reached out to me after listening to an episode that I did with Joshua Altman and on an authentic narrative and how the four languages of communication that we talked about during that podcast. He said that the episode puts words to something that he already been building, and that is always best kind of listeners. Eli Bouzaglou and the founder of Fish Tank, a guest today. Platform Fish Tank is a platform that describes as Shark Tank meet TikTok. We'll try to find out what that is today, Eli. We'll try dig into it deeper a little bit and get the audience a bit of a flavor of what you're working on. But the purpose built for something, this platform is built for something that the industry cares deeply about, democratizing entrepreneurship and breaking down the language and cultural barriers that keep talented founders out of the room of decision makers. Fish Tank combines quick pitch videos, AI-backed vetting, real-time community feedback, and team building across borders, all in one public, transparent feed. Eli, welcome to the show. How do you like my intro? Did I do enough research? Welcome to the show. Good to have you with me. Appreciate it.
Glad you.
And I was looking forward to this conversation because I could remember the conversation I had with Joshua Altman from Virginia, and I wanted to extend that conversation into a little bit more explicit way of doing this when it comes to entrepreneurship and how do we get into that whole funding. Somebody will take you on, somebody will mentor you, and Fish Tank seems to be the platform. At least that's what I read about it, and we'll talk a little bit more in explicit detail. Before I get into it, if you don't mind, Eli, let's start with the first question. Everybody gets on this channel gets this question initially to get the conversation warmed up, and the first question is, what is your story? What got you here?
So around a year and a half ago, I was building my web agency. We would build websites. It started off as just me alone. And then, I met an AI, started getting a little bigger and bigger. And I eventually figured out what it was. And I realized the amount of things you could do with it, right? So turns out AI could build you websites, and that's what I was doing. So with that knowledge, we were able to scale tremendously. Eventually, we scaled to around 15 to 20 employees, just cold calling for us, for me, and they would fill out a Google form. It would go straight into OpenAI. That form would be turned into a prompt, sent to Lovable. Lovable would create the website. Link would be sent right back over to the salesman that show it to the prospect. If they liked it, he would say that. Then the backend that I built would send him over a Stripe invoice to the salesman. He would give it to the prospect, and then 20% would be sent to the salesman. The rest would go to us. Now that worked very well. There was a constant problem that was brought up by the team, and it's a regular problem that you have in sales. It's you never know what you're doing wrong. People will hang up on you. And you never know what you did wrong, right? They don't tell you this is what you could do to increase it, to enhance your pitch. They never call me again and hang up in your face. So I said, okay, let me try to build some sort of tool that could fix this. So again, AI was still a little new to me. I'm just, traveling around in it. And I built an internal tool called Prospector. It was an AI cold calling app where our employees could basically upload their calls into the software, and then it would understand where they went wrong, how to improve, what they should have said to certain objections, and then they could replay those exact moments with the AI. So they could go back into the conversation with the AI. It says exactly wherever they messed up, it'll act as the prospect, and then they go back and forth until they master it. I showed it to the team. They all loved it. And eventually I said, yeah, you should try to bring this to market. It's a very good product. I realized that, if you want to bring a consumer product to market, it takes a tremendous amount of capital. A go-to-market is very expensive. So I said, okay, this isn't a venture portfolio type of company, right? And this isn't some unicorn. VCs won't back it. So I turned to crowdfunding. And boy, was I in for a surprise, because it turns out that crowdfunding is so boring that the only people on these platforms are VCs and angels. And they're also only looking for unicorns. So most of these platforms outright rejected me. Some of them were just delaying it more and more. And they once again, they also rejected me, because what happens when you're reading a pitch deck on a website, the second one, finish reading a 15 slide deck and it's not interesting, you close the tab. You don't, right? A successful startup is 1 out of 1,000, probably even less. No one wants to read 1,000 pitch decks.
Yeah.
Right. That's what VCs have junior interns for. They don't do that. right? Now, so it's just, there's this gap. I love to use the example of Zach Yedigari. He just exited his company, CalAI, which he bootstrapped all the way to a 9-figure exit, zero funding. And knowing what we know now, a VC, if they can go back in time, they still wouldn't invest because it's not a unicorn. That's not that type of company that, you know, they're looking for companies that return the whole fund. That's a failure to them. But it still doesn't mean that owning 0.1% of a 9-figure company isn't great for someone like me and you, right? I'd have six figures in the bank right now if I owned just 0.1%. And he actually self-funded the entire thing with $100,000 that he had from a previous exit from a website he built called Totally Science, if I'm not mistaken. Now, if you were to crowdfund that money, 1%, 0.1%, you would have made a tremendous amount of money. So why aren't there crowdfunding platforms that, you know, have allowed those types of companies, but not unicorns, but, you know, potentially it's still a pretty big amount. And like I said before, it's just because the only people on them are VCs, angels, and it's just too boring for someone like me and you. Mm-hmm. I would not go through that amount of decks to find a company, even if I knew for a fact that the next Facebook was somewhere in these 2000 pitch decks. I'm not reading them, right? But what is something that you could consume thousands of them a day and, you know, you don't even count it? And the answer to that question would be short form content, TikTok, et cetera. But why should you be judging a founder based off of their content? It's the relation, right? Now you could say the same thing with a pitch deck. What does the relation of a pitch deck have to do with a founder, right? I find content even better because as we're entering this new AI era, everyone knows ideas are cheap. Product is getting cheaper and cheaper every day. Now it's $25 a month of a Claude AI subscription. I can't do everything, but it could do a lot and it's getting better. The only thing that's left is your go-to-market, the way you bring a product to market. What's the best way to bring a product to market in 2026? Social media, short-form content, social media ads, etc. So why don't we judge the founder based off of that one difficult thing, right? Everything else is basically easy. Why aren't we judging them based off of that? And at the same time, you can go through a lot more of them. And then once you see that video and it piques your interest, you keep up, which is like following. And then you see the deck and then you see the investment details afterwards. So you're not blindly reading decks and then you fall on one and it's, oh, this guy's making Uber for dogs. You know what I mean? So,
Dogs, I like that one. You're originally from Montreal, right? And we don't get a lot of Canadian. Well, actually, I do. Once in a while, I get a Canadian guest on this one. So, you know, just take me back a little bit, if you don't mind. Eli, where did you go to school? What did you study? What prepared you to be here? Right?
I'm 18. So
I love that. That's great.
Yeah. If you're talking college-wise, well, that's a separate discussion, but I'm not much of a...
So what drove you to get to this stage? At 18 years old, you're doing this. This is a miracle. What got you?
I started before, a while ago, with my web agency, but eventually I got here. What convinced me to start? So
are you
I
still
was on
following your schools, though? Are you still following your education or you stopped?
I stopped. The way
are you
I
making
see
enough
it,
money now? Unless you said, hell with it. If I'm going to make money now, why am I taking all this education?
I feel like it's riskier to go to college as of now in 2026. Mm-hmm. It's more risky to do that rather than just start your own company.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask you why.
Take it back 5 years. The most promising job you could tell someone to go study was computer science. Computer science, finance, design. It's now it's just a software update on your Claude app on your phone, right? So I think that it's riskier to go to school, spend 5 years of your life, and then just the job market is like horrendous.
You know, it's for me listening to your story right now, and we just started talking. By the way, this conversation will take an hour. So we've got some time. Listening to your story right now, I'm amazed. And at the same time, I'm so proud to be talking to you right now, because the theory of, you know, going to college and gaining high level education, it sort of baffled me in many ways. I was in San Francisco last week and met with, you know, the typical high tech people. And I had my nephew with me who went to the same convention. And by the way, he has the same name as yours. And he almost looked like you. Maybe if I put you, the two of you on the same podcast, they think I have twin. But at the same time, he was asking questions. Like, I mean, the guy studied quite a bit. He's currently a professor at a university in Halifax, Dalhousie University. He teaches math and physics and a bunch of other things. And he's also working for a large corporation in Quebec as well as a data scientist. So one of the questions he was asking, you know, I won't mention the company name, but it's one of the top tech companies in the world. He asked him, like, how do I get a job with you guys? If you don't have a PhD from MIT, don't even apply. Justice is to get a job with a company. And now I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, if you can figure this out, and many people before us, I mean, have figured this out. I mean, there are many examples out there. Billionaires and, you know, guys who get lots of money in the world did not really pass high school. So, and now I'm talking to you and I'm feeling, you know, at the beginning of your career, at the beginning of your life, God give you a lot of success and long life in the future. It is amazing to be having this conversation right now. So what's your dream? What do you want to go?
The end goal for this platform is to be kind of like, is to be the meta of just entrepreneurship. Kind of, you know, how
is there enough business for that? Is there enough business? Is there enough uptick for this?
100%. Now, as we, I was saving this for later, around, I'm pretty sure last I checked, it was around 60% of Gen Z wants to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And way over that number. I don't remember the exact number, so I'm not going to give it a whole lot of that. Because the AI, the first thing it's coming for are the juniors and the interns jobs. Because the, as of right now, I would say AI outperforms maybe 80% of interns at least. And then the junior developer, junior analyst. So they're saying, okay, why are we hiring this junior? Maybe in 2 years from now, he'll be better. But right now, this AI is better and it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. So why are we even hiring him? It's a very, the job market is very, very like hard to get into right now. And I think it's only going to get harder. And I also know by just looking at the data that Gen Z is the most risk-taking and the most entrepreneur-focused generation ever.
You know, based on what you describe, the quick pitch videos, which you mentioned earlier, AI-backed vetting, open feedback, public and social. You mentioned TikTok earlier, like you put things out there in the public domain. These are three distinct layers. And then you use intelligence AI vetting. So unpack this for me. What does that mean, AI-backed vetting? To be honest with you, and because a lot of times people use their own personal judgments, etc. I'm assuming there's a lot of people are being judged, not necessarily on their ideas, but on who they are or where they come from. In some cases, I don't know. What does that mean, AI-backed vetting?
Yeah, so that just means that it's going to, so right now, if you have an idea in the shower, let's say, come up with an idea at 3 o'clock in the morning, you could search it up on our platform and with AI, it'll help you find anything like that. You could see, is anyone building something like this? Okay, someone is building something like this. I really like this idea. Let me see how he's doing. Okay, well, this is really good. He, I believe in this founder. I can invest. Another case would be you look it up. No one's building anything like that. I'm going to do it myself now. So you go to the community, which is kind of like you could say Twitter or LinkedIn, but it's specifically for judgment. All of these platforms like to be no judgment. That's rude. No, we're pure honesty. So here's what I'm building. Uber for dogs. That's a horrible idea. Don't do it. You post that on LinkedIn, you're going to get a bunch of people supporting you saying, okay, let me know when you need a developer. Here's my GitHub or right. And then you could go and then you could pitch the idea, get feedback on it and then build it. In terms of the actual vetting, that would be like when you create your company for the first time, it could kind of like wrestle with you and it also filter out bad companies. And normally you'd have to manually review them all if you want to maintain good quality, right? That's where the AI comes in.
Now, you mentioned something about everything is public when you're trying to promote an idea out there and using social media, being transparent. I want to push a little bit on this because as a founder and as an idea owner or an entrepreneur, creative idea owner, that creates a lot of tension because most people with ideas, they want to keep it under wrap until they do something with it because otherwise somebody will pick it up and then go develop it themselves. How do you manage that tension?
So that's another form of vetting because, well, anyone who's a second time founder knows that the idea means nothing. Eventually you're going to have to bring a product to market, right? And you're not going to put an NDA before your advertisements, right? But then you could argue, no, but I know people could copy me after, but it's about being first. And then I'm going to push back on it and say, do you know if Google was the first search engine? They're going to say, no, I don't know. And I'm going to say, well, it was the 12th search engine. How about Facebook? Was it the first social network or Instagram or TikTok? Was Amazon the first e-commerce platform? Was Coca-Cola the first soft drink? Was Anthropic the first AI? Now it's the best one. All of these things, it's not about being first, it's about being best. And eventually you're going to have to put it in the public. So when you launch on the App Store, someone sees it, wants to build it and make it better, then they could do that. It's not about being first. It's not about the idea. As a first-time founder, you might think, oh, someone might steal my idea. And you might be worried about it. The second you start realizing, okay, I have to bring this to market. And you're like, wait a minute. I've been protecting this idea for so long. Now I'm telling everyone about it and no one cares. No one wants to hear it. I still haven't launched. Been going on podcasts, seeing ads already, literally pushing my idea in other people's faces. Someone could launch it tomorrow if they want. Actually, no, because there's a compliance part that you have to go through, so that takes a while, but someone could launch it. I mean, ideas are very, very cheap. Like, I like to give this example. Like, I'll give you an idea for free. Rocket ships. Go build one. It's not about the idea. You know how many comments I got from people saying, I had this exact same idea, but I didn't know how to do it. Or I had the exact same idea, but it was too hard to do.
That's the key, right? Knowing how to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, for those listeners out there and the audience who's listening to this conversation today, and we're talking about something called Fish Tank, would you want to walk me through what actually happened at Fish Tank and who is it for? And for somebody who never heard of it, like for somebody who's totally unfamiliar with it, in plain terms, if you will, what do I see when I first open it the first time? What are the process steps that I need to go through?
Right. Great question. So when you initially open the app, it asks you, it prompts you, who are you? Are you an investor or are you an entrepreneur? Now, if you're an investor, you could think of it like Uber. When Uber, the app for the driver and the person being driven is not the same. So the same thing for us. The investor opens up the app and then they have a TikTok-like feed where they scroll. And then there's a few other things. Now, the entrepreneur has a completely different interface, which is their dashboard, their company page, their page, et cetera, et cetera. If you create a company, you need to have an actual, you could create your company like that, but create a campaign to start accepting investments, not only do you have to have a incorporation, you also need to file a Form C. And that's basically the government's way of making sure that you won't in ways rug pull people or just, you know, say, this is what I'm building, take the money and just leave.
Yep.
So that's the compliance and security part of the government side. So that might take some time. But
sorry, that's my Amber Alert. Decided to go off in Ontario. I don't know what's going on here.
So you file your Form C, you can start uploading videos on day one. If you have a pitch deck, you could upload it. And then through AI, it'll basically read the entire thing and then put it into the format for the app. So you don't have to fill in every individual field. And then you start pitching, start posting videos, your demo video, you add all your social links. You could also log in with Instagram and TikTok so you can, so the analytics for your social media page can be shown.
When we say AI-backed vetting, what is it exactly that we're vetting? And is there pros and cons when it comes to AI vetting?
No. There's still human vetting, of course. It's just to cut out the Uber for dogs.
Okay. I see what you mean. To do the first layer, if you will.
Yeah. Exactly.
And when you say human, is that like a team that you have or is it you? I know the application is still being built. Probably you don't have all the infrastructure in place. What is the vision?
And in terms of our backend?
Yeah, like you mentioned there'd be human evaluating. So who are these human eventually?
Yeah, so on day one, we will not be having such vetting at all, honestly. When you create your campaign though, that's when the vetting actually starts, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have, first of all, machine learning, just to see like, okay, do you have your articles of incorporation? Now we need to check that. Is it real?
Mm-hmm.
That obviously won't use AI. There's a separate API for that. But there are a lot of parts that AI can do.
Do you envision people paying for this or do you envision offering it for free, then making money through some other model? What is your business model, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. So just to like vet the company, right? We want people that just came up with an idea, but we want that idea to be like, okay, I'm actually going to build this and I'm confident this will be a company that I will build and make millions or billions of dollars from this, right? The company will eventually be worth that. So what we do is just when you create your actual company page, we do charge a fee just to ensure quality. Because if you really believe that this idea or this company will be eventually worth millions or billions, you shouldn't have a problem paying, you know, just a small amount. This is just so, once again, the investors aren't seeing total rubbish. We're not going to be vetting, inspecting, like, it's not going to be crazy, crazy vetting, but it's just to make sure that, you know, you're not going to get on the app, post a few videos and then jump off. So we have that. And then also when people actually invest into the companies, we operate under RegCF, we take a transaction fee for all successful investments.
So you take some transaction fee at the end, which makes sense. Fish Tank also has a bit of a team building platform, my understanding. Is that true? And what team, you know, it's almost like a separate product, right? At least that's my understanding from what I was reading. How do these two things work together, fundraising, hiring, they all end up in the same place, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So like I said before, we vision is Meta for entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vision. Now, eventually,
you gotta start somewhere, scale, right?
What?
You have to start somewhere.
Yeah. And eventually entrepreneurs, as they scale,
mm-hmm.
you need to hire people. And mm-hmm. like I mentioned before, it is a very broken job market. You get so many, I'm on LinkedIn, you get so many pitches from people saying, hire me. What do you do? I don't even understand what they're doing. So another part of it is going to be both co-founder matching type of thing and freelance developer hiring or freelance hiring or employee hiring that works with equity. So let's say you're a brand new company, you don't have the money to start hiring. Now,
yep.
not only do you hire with equity, which you do have, you also get employees that are more determined to succeed because they're only getting paid if the company does well. Now, is this coming out on day one? No. Is this coming out eventually? Yes. And yeah, that's what that part of it is.
Let's speak a little bit about barriers and language barriers and other barriers that you are intending for AI and the platform to break down, because we all seen it far too many times. When these types of decisions are handed over to a human, there are many things that gets involved. It's not a pure, I want to say, scientific way of looking at things or objective way of looking at things. There are many other things that goes inside of that. Can we talk a little bit about what specifically is AI from a barrier breakdown perspective? What is it helping in breaking down?
To breaking down in terms of
barriers, like when decision for investment comes along here. So I've got an idea. Oh. I put it on your platform and you said AI can help break down some of these barriers. What are the barriers that you intended here?
Yeah. So it could basically scrape the innovation profile, all the links, and it could wrestle with you. So it'll be kind of like, okay, I think this is a good investment because of this. And it will always tell you the negative about it. So wait a minute, this might not work. And this way, it's not like, oh, this is a great idea. I think it's going to do well. I'm going to invest X amount of money. And it's going to be there to wrestle with the investor
mm-hmm.
because ideas are very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be there to do a little bit of diligence for you.
And does it, what about the ethical part of things? Like, for instance, does it reduce discrimination, for instance?
Come again?
Does it reduce discrimination by using AI vetting? Do you see potential for that?
You're talking about that. I mean, I wouldn't discriminate against anyone. Discrimination? I mean, yeah, sure, I guess.
Because a lot of times we talk on the channel about ethical ways of using AI, and one of them is, you know, the ability to view the world in as flat as we can, in the way we make decisions, the way we communicate, etc. So that's why I was asking the question about, is there a possibility to reduce discrimination against somebody who's got an idea, but maybe it doesn't fit the right group or whatever the case may be? I have no idea. Does AI try to figure out, reduce all this, eliminate all the noise, and just focus specifically on the idea and presenting the idea to investors?
No. See, according to FINRA regulations and SEC regulations, we're not allowed to have an algorithm. Now, that is great if you are talking about anti-discrimination, because everyone gets an equal shot and it really is just about your content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's why the use of AI in the platform is very heavily regulated, because you could consider it an algorithm. So I'm going to be careful the way I say these things, but AI is going to be there to, it's not going to be there to say you should invest in this company. It's going to be there to say, here's why you shouldn't.
Okay.
It's not going to be racist. It's just going to say, okay, oh, wait a minute. This guy's building something, but there's this other platform that built the same exact thing and it already has so many users. It already has this and that. It's going to be there to say why you shouldn't invest in these companies. Because like I said before, ideas are very exciting. And before you take your wallet out, you might want to have someone to wrestle with you on it. And that's what the AI is for.
Of course. So I think about this quite a bit because I work in the language industry for many years. A pitch is not just information, it's cultural performance, right? So in a lot of cases, depends on what are you trying to do. The way a founder would think about telling their story in one country or one region may not be the same as would be in another region, or the way they come across in another country. Does Fishtank platform take this into account? How does it still, you know, is there a default, for instance, to one's culture register?
Yeah, so we are initially launching in the US, and then from there we're going to scale. But you know, you can't start by taking the whole world. that never really works. And you start small. And eventually you grow bigger and bigger and bigger. On initial launch, we're hoping to launch within 12 to 14 weeks. We're going to launch in the US and then we'll see how it goes from there. Do you want to go for Europe next? But we'll see how the legal side of that is, the go-to-market side. It's a lot of different parameters.
Now, we know from, okay, so if you're going to be doing it in the US eventually down the road and you're thinking about going to Europe, so language barrier need to be addressed at some point. And we know from data that 75% of people prefer to make decisions in their language, buying decisions or investing decisions in their own language. And I'm assuming that dynamic will be accounted for, you know, plays out in how are you going to push the product out for these region. For instance, you are in Montreal. Does French-speaking founders in Montreal have cultural disadvantage on an English-first platform?
Well, you could say that, but you could also say the same thing about, like, let's say TikTok or Instagram, because I'd say the default language is English or anywhere. Now, speaking French, is that a disadvantage? I don't think so. The problem is you're going to have to find viewers that speak French. Now, that's like saying, okay, if you post on TikTok in French, no one's going to understand it. No, obviously you could choose what language you speak when you set up your account for the first time. And then based off of that, it'll, you know, match with only people that speak English.
Default to that language, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
We're not going to have someone that speaks Spanish and all the buttons are in English, right? So yeah, now will we did, go to
Eli, we did French, talk a little, go ahead.
Will we go to
go ahead.
Canada and then French, that is a very small minority. Will that be the second, third thing we go to? I don't think so. Eventually, will we? Yes. Because not only is it's French, but it's a certain accent of French, which is hard to understand even to someone in France. And the population in Quebec isn't huge. Cut out people who are older. You cut out, for founders cut out only keep the entrepreneurs. You're left with a very, very, very small amount of people. Business-wise, does that make sense to be the first, second, third place we go to? No. But that's a decision that'll come later on. But at the moment, we're starting with English and in the States because it's a lot of a larger market.
Yeah, you know, I do run an AI exchange networking group. It happens on Fridays, which is tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning every Friday, except if there is a holiday somewhere. I think it'd be a great addition to that. I think you should come in and say hello to a few people. There are many entrepreneurs there, and they're all from different parts of the world, US, Canada, you know, a few other places, Argentina, Europe. Exchanging ideas with these guys perhaps could be helpful to you. I'd be happy to invite you if you're interested. One of the things I wanted to ask is around, we talked a lot about a brand new idea, but let's say I am an entrepreneur. I have a company, I've got a bunch of things on the go, and I got another idea in my head. I either want to expand existing company by adding another service to it or another thing I want to develop, etc. Does it work? Does the platform allow for that, or doesn't care?
Yeah, for sure. So you could always create another company, but it will show on your profile. So let's say an investor wants to know if you're all in, they're going to be able to see that you're not all in on this company. They're going to see, okay, he's also building this and this. So, well, while you can do it, I wouldn't suggest it because personally, I see a great idea, but I see that the entrepreneur is dealing with three companies, school, or a job. I'm gonna take a step back and say, okay, this is a good idea. If I fall on it again with someone else, then maybe I'll invest then. But this guy's too busy. He doesn't have what it takes. So it's all up to the entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, you want to maximize the chances of raising that capital. I would highly discourage building three different things at the same time.
Have you managed to get any investors for your own company through the platform?
And not through our platform. Once again, our platform hasn't launched yet. We're still awaiting a specific regulatory
compliance. But you got some investment money from other ways. Sources, right?
Yeah. We've actually just signed a deal we announced it 2 days ago with Jason Butcher. He's the CEO, founder and CEO of Orbit Capital. And he really believes in the vision. He actually, the way he found us, it's crazy. The way he found us was not through a pitch deck. He was on Instagram and he saw one of our videos. And I find it hilarious because that's what we're promoting. We're promoting the whole stop with the pitch deck. Is better. And that's how he found us. He sent me a message on LinkedIn saying, hi, I saw your video on Instagram, let's talk. And I was like, it's interesting. And surely enough, a week later, Safe signed, Wire in the bank account. So that's one that we actually just signed this week. So very exciting. And it makes me just double down on my bet for content is so much more engaging than a PDF, right? It's so much better.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And he's an actual 100%. VC. He's an actual VC. He's not, yeah, it's not like he's like some random person, right? So to a regular person, obviously video will be more engaging than a PDF, but you would assume, okay, maybe for a VC, maybe they'll like the PDF. No, not at all. I got on the phone with him after we got off the call. He said, okay, send me over the deck only after that. And only then you want to know more before reading a deck, because nobody really likes reading.
Yep.
Especially if you don't know what you're reading. If you're reading a book and you like the book, then that's a different story. But if you're blindlessly reading pitch decks, and one's Uber for dogs and another one is we're building AI for AI for whatever it is.
I get you. I understand. No, you're trying to weed out the bad ideas or the ideas that probably need explanation, because not many ideas, a lot of ideas are not simple. Some of them are, but many ideas are complex. And for the first time reader, even if you give them a pitch deck, they wouldn't understand what's in it, because the ideas in general, you're trying to create something innovative, you're trying to create something, a system that is a bit more complex. It's very hard for the investors to understand it, because it's not their specialty. They're not engineers. They're not, you know, a professional at the idea that you're trying to put out there. You feature open real-time community feedback on pitches. That whole feature open, meaning that I can give you real-time feedback on your pitch. Walk me through what it looked like for a founder when the feedback is not good. I mean, you got to get the good, bad, and the ugly, obviously. What happened in that moment?
That's good. Personally, as a founder, I look for bad feedback. And that's what I believe separates a good entrepreneur and one that's not necessarily the best. It's you have to be able to take bad feedback, and you have to not only take the bad feedback, you have to look for it, because good feedback just feels nice. It doesn't do anything for you. It does nothing. Someone says it's a great idea. Congratulations. Those are just extra words. Nothing improves. So if you look for good feedback and ignore the bad feedback, you're not fit. I don't think you're fit for it, because you're not looking for the holes in your boat. That's like you have to, like, whenever I speak with someone, almost all the time, I tell them, okay, what did I do? What can I improve in general, right? Whether it's my LinkedIn profile picture to you don't like the color of my shirt to the whole idea is bad, anything. And I got a lot of feedback. Most people don't want to say it. And there's always something that's not the best thing that the person did. There's always something. And I don't really like it when someone says nothing, because it's like, okay, you're just scared to tell me the truth. If I want to go ahead and build this company, and I go ask, the worst thing is to go ask your mom, because she will always say, that's a great idea. You're not supposed to look for the good feedback. You're supposed to look for the bad feedback. If I'm saying I'm building Uber for dogs, I want someone to say, horrible idea, do not do that. And if someone says that's a good idea, they don't realize it. But if I actually listen to their feedback, I'm going to spend a year doing nothing on a horrible idea. So I think bad feedback is good.
Yep, 100% improvement. And you get the chance to adjust and better the idea, take it to the next level, or get out of it completely. You better know now versus knowing after you invest down the road and waste a whole bunch of people, resources, and money.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you talk about the four, and this is very impressive, by the way, for somebody who's 18 years of age, the four language of communication that Joshua talked about. I'm so impressed that you noticed that. There are facts, feelings, values, and stories. Which one of those does a 60-second pitch video try to
There is no default. I would call, like, when you're making social media content and it's like promoting something, there's something that you call the funnel. The top of funnel would be just entertaining content. Middle funnel would be, you know, your skits where you reference whatever you're building slightly, or you like kind of, so middle funnel for me would be, let's say, a skit of me and a friend. The friend just applied to Y Combinator, he got rejected, and I'm looking at him with my phone and I'm saying, I just raised this amount of money from Fish Tank, look at you're wasted your time. So that would be like middle funnel, kind of like a skit, the story where promoting. Then bottom funnel is, hi, this is my name, this is what I built, download link in bio. So we want to have the same type of thing on Fish Tank, where there's top of funnel, middle funnel, bottom funnel, because just a pitch like, hi, this is what I'm building, over and over again, that feed is going to get very boring for you. And that's why we have all of these types of things, because as an investor, you don't want to only judge the idea. You want to judge the founder's ability to captivate someone's attention and actually watch the content and then eventually download the app. Because that's what they're going to be doing on these social media platforms. So if you say, okay, this is a really good, this guy knows how to promote well, and the idea is there, this is going to do well.
Now, you described like Fish Tank as a purpose-built for the digital age platform. What specifically about entrepreneurship in 2025 that makes the old model not just slower, but actually wrong, in your opinion?
AI.
What makes the old model wrong, not just slower?
AI.
You think so, AI?
Yeah, it changes everything. Because before, you could say failing was bad because you failed at something. It took you a very large amount of time to do that. Now, if you fail at something, it took you a lot less time, because now you have AI that help you do those things. So an example, so something I like to say is now failure is not bad, it's good. If you implement what you learned properly, of course. It changed a lot of things because now you no longer need a massive team. You no longer need an insane amount of venture dollars. Advertising is changing drastically. Now it's more social media. People are starting to understand the value of social media. People aren't joking about, haha, you're on TikTok anymore. Now it's, tell me what you did to get this following, right? So a lot of things are changing.
Yeah.
I mean, and I feel like if you're still using that old model, you're going to be left behind.
Yep. Yep. That's right. Because there's a new world out there right now in the way we consume content and create content. And who is, you know, what is the outcome of that content too? Like this is big, not just creative content, but what is the purpose of the content? Is it achieving its purpose? TikTok included. Help me look down the road, if you don't mind, Eli, if Fish Tank works exactly the way you are imagining it at scale, globally, etc. What does the founder journey would look like differently in 5 years from now?
There's no way to know, honestly. But I really want it to be the all-in-one from idea at 3 o'clock in the morning to basically, okay, IPO or acquisition. That's when you get off the platform. Actually, no, that's when you go to your settings, change your user type, and then change to an investor. The ideal. That's what I want. You go from the regular idea you had, you test it on the network, you get destroyed on it. This is bad, fix this. This is horrible. This part is good actually, but this part's bad. You have a competitor who's already has plenty of users and they're doing better than you have them, and they have a lot of capital. Try this, try that. Okay, now you have your idea. Now you start building it. You document your journey as you're building it. Then you start pitching it. Share the demo, go to your socials, investors could scroll, see your, let's say your Instagram, TikTok, YouTube analytics all through our platform. See, okay, this guy's going viral. He knows how to talk. He has a great idea. I tried the demo, it's great. I'm gonna invest. He raises the capital, triples, quadruples his marketing budget, explodes, gets acquired or IPOs, then switches his user type and then starts investing into the next person.
Now, my last question, if you don't mind, Eli, for someone in our audience who is building something right now and wants to explore Fish Tank, whether as a founder pitching or as someone who wants to support founder in their community, what is the one thing they would need to know to get started?
Start building, start filming yourself, start posting, have those videos ready for when we launch. And yeah, we're launching very soon. You could join our beta at fishtank.vc/beta. And we're excited to have you guys on the platform.
And if anybody's interested, by the way, from the audience, the listeners, if you're interested in connecting with Eli, and you don't know how, he is on LinkedIn, but if you don't know how, I just connected with Eli myself. You can reach out to me and I'll be happy to facilitate an introduction. I appreciate everybody's time with me today. I want to thank Eli for coming in. Eli, did we address everything today? Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Did I target all the areas that you wanted to target today? Good. And I wish you lots of success. I wish you come back and update us when time is right for you. I wish you come back to the platform. We'll be happy to host you. And for the audience, I want to thank you so much for joining me on this recording. I appreciate your time. And if you're coming on YouTube, thanks so much for watching us. If you're on your podcast and listening to us at the gym or driving, drive carefully and work out carefully. And we'd love to have you as a part of our network and part of our group. And also, if you're reading the blog at robinayoub.blog, this is where I summarize these conversations. Thanks so much for reading, and thanks so much for subscribing. And I will see you at the next recording. Eli, thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. I truly enjoyed this conversation. And hang in there, don't go. And I'll see you guys at the next episode. All right, you almost.